Good morning. You are listening to the radio worship service from St. Stephen's Lutheran Church in Beaver Dam. We pray that you are blessed through this time of worship with us. I am Pastor Paul Stratman, and I will be today's worship leader. The hymns of today will be sung by members of St. Stephen's, led by organist Dale Grilke. Later in this service, Pastor Philip Heyer will present the message for the day, the ultimate memory aid, the Holy Spirit. We begin our worship with the hymn, O Holy Spirit, enter in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. but I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. The scripture reading, which will also be the sermon text for this Pentecost Sunday, is recorded in John chapter 14, verses 25 to 27. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have told you these things while staying with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not let it be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord. After the congregation has sung the hymn, "Holy Spirit, Light Divine," we'll hear the message for the day, the ultimate memory aid, the Holy Spirit.
In the name of Jesus, dear radio listener, forgetfulness. As we grow older, we joke about forgetting things, but it happens, and not just when we're old. It's unfortunately the result of being part of a sinful human race with sinful, imperfect human bodies and minds. Since we all forget things from time to time, people always try to come up with memory aids. A common memory aid is to use words that help us remember important things. An example of this is a word that helps remember how to use a fire extinguisher. The word PASS, P-A-S-S. It's an acronym. Each letter in the word is the first letter in other words, and it tells us how to use the extinguisher. P is for pull, pull the pin. A is for aim, aim the nozzle at the base of the fire. The first S is for squeeze, squeeze the handle. And the final S is for sweep, sweep the spray back and forth on the fire. Hopefully that helps us to remember how to use the extinguisher in an emergency. Jesus knows how forgetful sinful people are and how things we've heard and seen can get lodged deep in the memory banks, becoming difficult to bring out. His disciples who were around him that Thursday night before his arrest and trials and crucifixion had seen and heard, and they would see and hear, things Jesus did not want them to forget. But the things they were about to see and hear were very tragic and traumatic and wouldn't make a lot of sense to them when they tried to tie them to some of the grand and glorious things they had seen and heard with Jesus earlier. So that they would remember everything they had seen and heard and what it means, so that they could eventually pass it on, Jesus promised they would receive what, or better, whom this day of Pentecost is all about for believers. He promised the ultimate memory aid, the Holy Spirit. He is a gift from your Heavenly Father. He teaches you everything about Jesus, and he brings you Jesus' peace. Jesus promised his disciples that the Father would send the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's work is to once again breathe into humans the breath of life, faith in the saving work of our God. He creates in people a faith that lays hold of God's forgiveness in the work of Jesus, God's Son. That sending of the Spirit to work in human hearts is a gift from the Father. Gifts are mostly given out of love, not because of any worthiness of the recipient. Jesus promised the Father would send the counsel of the Holy Spirit to those disciples who were gathered with him that night before he died. But let's think about those men for a moment and see how undeserving they were of anything from God. Peter, several weeks or months earlier, had tried to thwart God's plan of salvation, telling Jesus he shouldn't go to Jerusalem, saying, "This will never happen to you," these things that Jesus had talked about, being arrested and handed over to people and killed and rising on the third day. To all that, Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." And then there were James and John. They also earlier, with their mother's help, had asked Jesus if they could have the most powerful positions in his kingdom when he took up his glorious kingdom. They wanted to sit in judgment on everyone else. Of course, that's what the other disciples wanted as well, as demonstrated by their argument that night over who was the greatest of the disciples. Jesus' lesson on humble service through the washing of their feet that night apparently was not fresh in their memories. His words that he had come not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, were apparently lost deep within the recesses of their minds. These were not men who deserved any gift from God, yet Jesus promised the Father would send that great gift, that ultimate memory aid, the Holy Spirit, who would pull from their memory banks the truths buried there that they might apply them to their lives. The disciples' forgetfulness and subsequent sinful behavior strikes a chord with us. How many times haven't we, in our minds and hearts, told Jesus, "You didn't need to go to Jerusalem to die for us"? Probably many times, since that's what we do whenever we get our self-righteous attitudes about others, thinking my sins aren't as serious as someone else's. When you and I don't view ourselves as the, quote, chief of sinners, we basically tell Jesus he didn't need to go to Jerusalem for us. And like James and John, we like to sit in judgment on others, seeing, as Jesus told the Pharisees, a speck of sawdust in someone else's eye, but failing to acknowledge the plank of wood in our own eye. Like all 12 disciples that night, we'd rather be served by somebody than to make our lives living love sacrifices to God through humble service to people around us. How undeserving you and I are of anything good from this holy and almighty God. Yet Jesus' promise to the disciples with him that Thursday is a promise to all of his disciples of all time. He promises to send the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, that ultimate memory aid. And when he is given, he teaches and reminds us everything about Jesus. In the 24 hours following this promise of Jesus to his disciples, they would see and hear much that could cause them to forget much of what Jesus had told them over the last 3 years. He had been telling them he was the Christ of God, promised since the fall into sin in the Garden of Eden. He had told them that he had brought the kingdom of God and that they would be part of it. But as Jesus would suffer great earthly pain and endure the physical and spiritual agony of hell, the disciples' big question about it all in the midst of that tragedy might have been, why? Why is our rabbi suffering this way? Why isn't he doing something? We've seen his power. And while Jesus' words about a kingdom and glory may have still been echoing in their minds, the words that said the kingdom and glory would come through suffering, what sinners should suffer, seem to have been buried. Tragic and traumatic events will often cause memories to be buried. Sometimes the God-created mind protects us for a while from painful events by sticking memories deep within. Events at the other end of the emotional spectrum might do the same. Good and pleasant events and happenings may blur or bury unpleasant memories of an event, place, or person. So it may have been with the disciples at that time. The tragic events buried the memories of Jesus' words spoken years before, and the exhilarating event of Jesus' resurrection to life may have blurred and obscured his earlier words of what this all would mean for sinful people. They would need the ultimate memory aid to bring to the forefront of their minds Jesus' previous words and actions and to have them relate to the ugly events of Good Friday and the joyous events of Easter Sunday. We need this aid too. The tragedies and traumatic events in earthly life often become Satan's tool in making us forget the love and compassion of our God poured out for us in the perfect human life and tragic death of Jesus, the Son of God, in our place. The tremendous blessings we often take for granted in our lives also can become Satan's tool when they become our greatest joys, taking more of our time, resources, and energy than activities of devotion to our Savior. When the Holy Spirit came upon those disciples 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he caused them to remember Jesus' words and actions of the previous years. He caused them to remember, in the light of what Jesus had said and done, all the truths and promises of God they had learned from their Old Testament scripture studies. They understood the love of God in Christ. They understood the need for Jesus to offer himself as the sacrifice for their sins, and as John wrote, for the sins of the whole world. The Holy Spirit, the ultimate memory aid, reminds us and reteaches us everything about Jesus, what he has done and still does for us. He reminds and reteaches us what his sacrifice and resurrection mean for us as far as where we are going and how we will go about living as Jesus' disciples. And as this ultimate memory aid, the Holy Spirit, works through the good news of Jesus to remind and reteach us everything about Jesus and what it means for us now and forever, he also gives us Jesus' peace. It's almost unbelievable, isn't it, that Jesus could be at peace when he was with his disciples that night before he went to the cross? Those men had been arguing about which of them was the greatest, seemingly not understanding at all what Jesus' life had been about, nor that they were about to see real greatness on display the next day. Beyond that, Jesus knew everything that was about to happen. How in the next 2 to 3 hours, Judas would show up in Gethsemane with a mob to arrest him. How the high priest and his cronies would make a mockery of justice and of God's laws. How Pontius Pilate would crumble under Jewish pressure to finally give the order to have Jesus crucified. And how about 16 or 17 hours later, while on that cross, the Father in heaven would turn his back on him, leaving him to suffer the terrors of hell because he had the sins of every human being in his body and on his soul. Yet Jesus told the disciples he had peace to give them, his peace. He told them to not let their hearts be troubled, nor to be afraid, implying that his heart wasn't troubled and that he wasn't afraid. How could this be? How could Jesus have peace at such a tumultuous and traumatic time? Jesus was at peace with God and with himself and with everything that was going on because his life was right with God. His life had been lived perfectly according to God's holy commands for human life. righteousness equals peace. And so he had peace at that time, a peace he could pass on to his disciples. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." And they didn't have to worry about losing that peace, because Jesus doesn't give the way the world gives. When we give something to someone, the possibility exists that we might ask for it back, or that they might do something so awful that they'd have to forfeit that gift. Jesus gives and asks for nothing in payment or return. He'll never take that peace away. When Jesus says he gives you peace, that means he gives you the righteousness, the rightness or innocence with God that is needed to be at peace with him, to be out from under his condemnation on your life. The Holy Spirit works to convince you that Jesus has made you right with God. Right with God. God is at peace with you, and you are at peace with him. Such peace is given every time the Spirit works in you through this good news brought to you through God's word and through the supper Jesus told his disciples to eat in remembrance of me. Since that gospel in word and sacrament assures you that sins are forgiven, the Holy Spirit is not only a memory aid, but also a memory eraser. When memories of sins committed haunt our memories, the Holy Spirit, that memory eraser, erases our memories and gives us peace through the assurance of God's forgiveness for Jesus' sake. When the Holy Spirit, the ultimate memory aid, reminds and reteaches us everything about Jesus, he gives us peace. Peace that does go beyond human understanding and beyond this life. Through regular hearing and use of his word and through his supper, may the ultimate memory aid, the Holy Spirit, keep reminding and reteaching you about everything Jesus has done and is doing for you. And through that reminding and reteaching, may he give you peace. Amen.
We confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our radio choir will now sing the hymn, Holy Spirit, God of Love. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Taught by our Savior, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. We close our service with the hymn, O Spirit of Life, O Spirit of God. St. Stephen's Lutheran Church is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. This radio service is broadcast every Sunday morning at 9:30 here on WBEV. If you would like a printed copy of today's message or want to contact one of our pastors, you may write to us at 300 West Street, Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, 53916. Please include your name and address and today's date. Again, the address for St. Stephen's is 300 West Street, Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, 53916. You can find more information and listen to streaming audio of our most recent radio worship services by going to www.ssbdwels.com. Click on Radio Services on the main menu to listen to the services.